hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Up under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Next week, we are going to be in the Maldives broadcasting from the Carpe Vita Explorer liveaboard. And it is going to be an amazing broadcast. Do not miss it. But we got a lot of stuff to cover as we lead up to this once in a lifetime. Actually, it'll be my second time there. So it'll be the twice in a lifetime adventure for me. But Pup, the Scuba Cowboy, Mermaid, Lizzie, and Tiffany are going to be on board as well. This will be their first time in the Maldives, my favorite place on the planet. Or the best liveaboard trip I've ever done was that one I did a couple years ago with them. So I'm very excited. You'll hear all about it next week. Do not miss it. But like I said, we got a lot of stuff to cover. And to kick off today's show, I have Scuba Board's Net Doc. We like to call him Pete. You can call him Net Doc or any other four-letter word you answer to. Right, Pete?
Anything but late for dinner.
Okay, fair enough. That'll work. And Pete's been hanging out down there in the Florida Keys. And, you know, we've been getting a lot of sightings up and down the Florida coast lately with sharks and things like that. You know, schooling sharks. Great whites have been in the news the last few weeks. What have you been hearing? What have you been seeing down there in the Florida Keys? You've been getting those reports as well, Pete, or what?
Well, we've been getting reports of the great white that's been hanging off the Marathon. He hasn't come north to Key Largo, although it's nicer diving here. He should know that. And we've been getting... We've been getting some reports of a big 10-footer or so hammerhead that's been around Molasses Reef, which has been kind of exciting to see him jump in.
Really? So the divers are just swimming along, doing their thing, and all of a sudden a 10-foot hammerhead cruises through the area, huh?
Exactly. And, you know, he's a friendly hammerhead. He hasn't taken a nip out of anybody.
Yeah. So, actually, I think I've heard of that. This shark has been around there for a while, hasn't he?
A year that we know of.
Right.
We're trying not to let the fishermen know about it because we don't want them trolling for them.
Right. Okay. Nobody's named them yet, has they? Or has
not
there been
that I've heard.
Okay. But there's evidently a there's been some sightings of a great white off of Marathon. Is that what you said earlier?
Yeah, he's hanging off of Marathon. The fishing boats are seeing him, and a couple divers have seen him, but he's staying in the deeper areas where divers don't normally go.
Mm-hmm.
So there haven't been as many scuba sightings.
Interesting. But there has been some where
there have been a few.
Interesting. Yeah. You know, I don't know how I'd react to that. I mean, I think it'd be awesome, actually. But
I saw
you know,
a great white here in the Keys about 10 years ago off the Spiegel Grove. It was awesome.
Really? Yeah. I mean, but did you have that kind of second thought in the back of your mind? Like, wait a minute. I wasn't expecting to see a great white here. That's not really normal, or like a seal today? What's going on?
It was actually sort of like surrealistic, because you're sitting there looking at the shark, and you're thinking, well, that's not right. That's a deformed shark. Bull sharks, oh, wait a minute. Oh, my gosh, that's a pointer. And, you know, you just go through this revelation of it, and as you do that, you're finding yourself getting lower to the deck and trying to blend.
Right. And then the music kicks in. Da-dum. Right. Yeah.
Didn't hear music.
You didn't hear music.
I'm probably tone deaf, so.
It was probably drowned out by the bowel movements you were making, you think?
It might have been. But, you know, I've had some other interesting sightings here in the Keys. I was on Alligator Reef a couple weeks ago with the Coral Restoration Group. We had a bunch of kids here in the Keys went out to go plant corals. And after we were finished, we planted about, 300 corals that day.
Nice.
I went off the reef about 50 feet and found an aggregation of Nassau grouper like I've never seen. I mean, these are 3-foot fish and probably 50 to 100 of them. I've never seen that many Nassau in one spot.
Wow. So they were probably spawning then, you think?
I didn't ask. I wasn't asked out on a date, so I couldn't tell you.
Well, you know, I've seen that in the Bahamas. I was actually on a shark diving trip many years ago off of the West End in the Bahamas. And they told us, like, hey, this is the season where the grouper are spawning, the Nassau grouper are spawning in the area. And there were hundreds of them, or thousands, maybe. It was just weird. I mean, because you look down at the sand floor, and it was just speckled with these fish. And they were just kind of hanging out, just still, like they do sometimes under a coral head. Is that what they were doing, just kind of hanging? Or were they
floating?
Most
of them were hanging. A few of them were swimming.
Okay. So, but it was at the bottom, or are they mid-water, or what?
Mostly at the bottom or under a ledge. Most of them are under ledges and cracks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just that they've been trying to find places where they aggregate here in the Keys for eons, and this is like the first lead we've had. In fact, the people at reef.org were very interested in, okay, what ball number? Where do you go? You know, because they're going to go out and check it out and see if they're still there and try and document this.
Yeah, because they want to find out where they are doing this so they can maybe give them a little bit of protection if they are in spawning grounds, because that's an easy place for a fisherman to come in and just wipe them out, right?
Exactly. And another cool sighting we had was the my waiter at breakfast today told me that he was tooling around in the backcountry. He's also a diver. And so is his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And he was trolling around the backcountry and came across a half dozen or more sawfish. And they were all 3-4 foot in length, which was great to see because those are on the endangered species.
Okay, now sawfish, are those the sharks with the teeth and weird long nose? Or no?
Yes.
They are.
It is. It's got the teeth pointing out, and those are actually not really teeth, although they're made like teeth. They use those to shake the weeds, to shake the crustaceans out so they can move over and eat them with their real teeth.
Yeah, but they look very menacing, like a chainsaw type of thing.
They do look like a chainsaw.
Yeah, and you would not want to grab a hold of one of those or be on the wrong end of that shark, for sure.
I wonder if that's how they got the name sawfish.
Maybe. That's a pretty good inference. But just seeing them is rare. I don't think I've ever seen one of those in the wild before.
I've seen a big one off of Boynton one time, and when I was much younger and we fished in Indian Lagoon, we saw them all the time. In fact, we were wary of them because, boy, getting those spikes in your ankles really hurt.
Well, I would imagine. Yeah. Yeah, that would not be good.
You don't want your day.
It would ruin your day. That'd be worse than a stingray sting, I would think.
No.
It wouldn't be as bad. Well, yeah, because they're not injecting poison. Any poison, but still they'd leave a nasty lump or gash or something. You don't want that.
Actually, those break off pretty easy.
Yeah.
And we had one of our friends actually get hit by one and left 4 of the little spikes in his ankle, and we had to float him down the river, which, of course, he was now worried about being eaten by sharks. And it was kind of funny, but he was just in agony the whole time. And every time we tried to pull him out, he was like, no, don't touch it. So we had to carry him out of the water to the car and bring him home.
Yeah, and that way he could say it was a shark attack survivor and impress the chicks, right?
If we had taken a video of him whining, it would not have impressed anybody.
Well, of course not, but that wouldn't let him, that shouldn't stop him from embellishing the story enough to, give him a fin up on some of his single diver competition. You hear what I'm saying?
I understand.
Yeah. He worked it. You know he worked it. I know how us divers operate in that way. We've got to milk it every way we can. All right, so you got sawfish, grouper, great whites. Last year we had some whale shark sightings. Have you heard any rumblings of whale sharks down in the Keys so far this year or no?
No whale sharks, but I have seen that video in the Sea of Cortez with the killer whales.
Oh yeah, I saw that too. That's impressive. The killer whales are jumping into the wake of this. I guess they were diving. It was a dive boat or something.
It was a dive boat. When it showed here on the local news, I thought it would happen just off our coast, and I was like, "Oh man, I'm going to go out and see killer whales." But that would be fun. But I don't think they come down this far south.
Yeah, I did read something though on that video that they were actually doing a dive there in the Sea of Cortez, and the killer whale showed up, and the dive masters said, "Get out of the water now!"
You know, yeah, I'm not sure how I would like to have a killer whale show up. I've dove in the Sea of Cortez several times, and it's wonderful diving. And, you know, no canned fish, no bottle fish.
Yeah, well, I had that happen in the Galapagos. I dove with killer whales. They showed up when we were doing the same thing, and they swam right behind me. I didn't even see them. They swam literally within a foot or two of me. My dive buddy looked at me, you know, like I was on Mars or something. I'm like, "What's a big dealio, buddy?" And then he goes, "Look, six killer whales just swam up behind you as soon as we cracked the surface." And we got out of the water because they are killer whales. So, you know, you always want to play it a little safe. And I'm sure those dive masters in the Sea of Cortez felt the same way. More with Pete from Scuba Board next.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry. And at an affordable price, go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Hello there, this is Dr. Sylvia Earle, and this is Scuba Radio, the first radio program devoted exclusively to diving.
Thank you, Sylvia. All right, so we have Pete from Scuba Board. We're talking about some things going on in the Florida Keys and beyond, whether it's, you have killer whales show up at the in the wake of your dive boat on your way back to the dock. That could be an added bonus to your day of diving, whether it's in the Keys or the Sea of Cortez. But let's kind of change gears, Pete, because I know you've been doing a lot of dive instruction, and you know, this is the time of year where the water's starting to warm up, and I'm getting ready to do some put on my dive instructor hat myself and get Patrick from our World of Boating show certified to dive, as well as a couple other folks this summer. So, first of all, let's talk about what you've been up to down there as far as your dive training. You got some dive masters you're working with, or what?
We have. Elena and I, my significant other, teach the interns at reef.org and Coral Restoration. We do this as a public service to them.
Nice.
Because they give so much to us, we got to give something back to them.
Sure. Great organization.
And anyway, we've been having a couple of them, one from each, that are going through their dive master, and it's been a hoot. In fact, if you go on YouTube and look up Scuba Board and Dive Master, if you just search for that, you're going to see Ann and Jess, And it's a hilarious video. It's only 2 minutes long, not quite. And what a great time they're having doing their gear exchange.
Yes, well, it didn't go as smoothly as it should as far as for demonstration purposes or what?
It went awesome. They passed.
They passed.
They had fun doing it. I mean, it's just that she set this to, usually it takes 10 or 15 minutes to do that.
Right.
She condensed it down. She put in the music from Benny Hill.
Ah, okay.
And, I mean, the video is just hilarious when you look at that. They're obviously having fun. You can tell by the smiles on the faces.
Right.
You know, as interns, they have to document their entire time there, and they come up with a little portfolio, some video, some written and whatever. And this is part of her portfolio. And what a great job she did on the editing of that video.
Cool. So you got a little Keystone Cop thing going on there, sounds
exactly.
like. Exactly. Yeah. Nice.
In the Keys.
In the Keys, yes. Of course. That makes sense. Now, yeah, you know, and if you wanted to kick that up a notch, and it really depends on the dive masters you're dealing with, you could do the same thing. But as a dive instructor, do you ever have that temptation? I know I have, is when I, you know, have them do that gear exchange in the pool when I know they really have it down packed. It's like, okay, for extra credit. All right. You're going to do your gear exchange. You guys are going to flip gear but don't stop at the dive gear. And what's great is when you get like a guy and a girl, like a couple and stuff, and you know, the guy's wearing Speedos and the girl's wearing a bikini. You hear what I'm saying?
I hear it. I don't know that I could get away with it.
Yes. Well, not many people could. And I'm not saying, I'm not saying I have, but I'm not saying I haven't. But anyway.
You know, Key Largo is known for having a huge group of different people from all over the world come here.
Yeah.
Last year, one of our German visitors, when they got ready to change at the pool to go do their scuba instruction, decided that he would just strip down in the buff, and the Americans just didn't understand it.
Really?
Well, they called the cops. It was kind of funny. And, of course, we kept them out of trouble, saying, you know, no, it's just a cultural thing. It's okay. He's got his clothes on. He didn't realize.
Wow. Did he not even use a towel or anything? Or he just stripped down naked, butt naked and put on a wetsuit?
Butt naked, dude.
Yeah. Well, hey, whatever. You know, I'm for it if you're a hot-looking girl. But you know what I'm saying? I'm a little biased in that sense. But
me too.
You know, who knows? Maybe we'll see some of that in the Maldives next week. Of course, we'll be covering it accordingly if we do. But, all right. So, you know, as far as dive masters, you're doing some training along those lines. I know that you had an issue that popped up on Scuba Board this week about tipping. And this has been a subject that's been brought up many times on the show before. But what just popped up this week or last couple of weeks as far as tipping that's a little twist on what we've seen in the past?
Yeah, you know, actually, let me read the first thing, and then I'll tell you about what's been said.
Okay,
okay?
You got it.
It's very short, so it shouldn't take long, and I'm trying to get to that page as we talk.
Yes.
Okay. It says, this is from Lawyer Scuba Girl. My boyfriend will be certified in Playa del Carmen in June. I was certified in Cozumel a couple of years ago, and I cannot remember now that I tipped my instructor. I'd like some ideas on what to tip. Okay,
okay.
You know, the consensus is you tip because you want to. You shouldn't feel compelled to do it.
Right.
And you do it if they've surpassed your expectations. Did you learn really well? Were you given that extra attention?
And that extra attention did that entail like having
attention, not unwanted.
Well,
attention.
I was going to say if your dive instructor had you switch gear and said go ahead and switch swimsuits as well,
you probably wouldn't get tipped. You'd probably
right.
get reported for that. Now, you know, one thing that people don't realize that's a great tip for your instructor is not actually money, but going on places like Scuba Board on Facebook and telling the world what a great time you had with that instructor and why you thought they were special.
Right. Yeah. And I would think, you know, if you're already paying your instructor, I'm not so sure a monetary tip's really necessary. I do associate tips with the boat dives and that kind of thing, but that should go to the captain and the dive masters that are working on the boat, not necessarily your dive master, you think?
I agree with that, but I'd never turn away a tip. I have to say, and I've got some nice tips. The funniest one, or the best one, is a guy who was a machinist. He took an AL-80 and cut it down to size and made it into a cookie jar, which sits on our counter because, you know, it's just so cool. And people,
nice.
What a small tank. And you lift up the top and there's cookies inside and it's like, that's cool.
That is. That's a great idea, actually.
That's a discussion topic right there.
Sure. Well, I agree. You know, a nice, a thoughtful gift. Like, you know, hey, I'll pick up your lunch tab after our day of diving today.
There
or
you go.
Buy a beer or whatever. But I'm not so sure your dive instructor should be getting a tip if you're already, you know, paying them a few hundred bucks or whatever it is for your dive class. You think? I don't know.
Well, you know, I've got some obscenely large tips from people, but they could afford it.
Yeah.
And they were real happy with the fact that, you know, I went above and beyond. Usually if I get a tip, I've known that I have wowed them. And that's what it's all about. I mean, tipping should be an incentive, but I don't think any instructor out there expects it. Well, and they might be, but they're stupid if they are.
Right. And you know, I guess if you're in a resort destination or something like that, the dynamics might be a little different. If you're coming in to Cozumel and you're getting certified to dive with an instructor you've never met before, you're in a vacation destination, you know, those folks rely on tips a little bit more heavier than your local dive store instructor, you think?
Yeah, well, you know the joke. What's the difference between a large pizza and a scuba instructor?
What's that?
A large pizza can feed a family of four.
And it's an unfortunate truth.
Tips are always appreciated.
Fair enough. All right, more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We got a damn good diving safety tip on deck. But here's a couple things just want to bring you up to date on so you can mark them on your calendar and plan accordingly. June 8th and 9th, we have the Scuba Show in Long Beach, California. It's music, mermaids, and mayhem. We are bringing to the left coast, thanks to our friends there at California Diving News and Dive Training Magazine. They have contracted with Scuba Radio, so to speak, to bring our little unique brand of entertainment to open the show there in Long Beach, California this year. We've been out there the last couple of years doing a thing, you know, wandering the show, but this time we're actually pulling out all the stops, doing a little, you know, opening celebration ceremony, giving away a bunch of stuff, from our sponsors, whether it's, you know, Nanook protective cases with Scuba Radio logos on them, you know, some Scuba Radio hats and jackets and things like that. We got some really nice prizes, including a trip on the next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise in St. Kitts, Saba with Explore Ventures. Now that happens January 18th. And we are going to be giving away a spot on that trip there at the Scuba Show in Long Beach, California. So if you are out on the left coast, June 8th and 9th, you're going to want to make sure you come on out to the show and join the festivities. Once again, get there when it opens, because we're going to set up right there at the entrance of the Scuba Show and help them fire up the crowd before they walk into, to peruse the aisles there at this massive event out there in Long Beach, California. It's a great show. A lot of fun things to do after the show's over, by the way, at the waterfront there by the Queen Mary and the Yard House. You order, a yard or two of beer. It's a lethal combination, but lends itself to some great times to be had by all who have and share that passion of diving, like we all do. All right, so coming up, we got our dang good diving safety tip and then more right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, diver's consumer tip number 248. When your wife asks the inevitable, "Does the wetsuit make me look fat?" question.
Of course it makes you look fat.
An acceptable diver's reply is, "No, it's not the wetsuit."
Oh, come on.
And...
you haven't even tried donuts yet.
Remember to budget for an additional surcharge when traveling as a single on your next dive trip somewhere.
You want to store fat? That is the way to store some fat.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the Real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio is Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. How you doing, Nick?
Hey, I'm feeling great, Greg.
You look it. The very picture of health.
Not a bad thing for a doctor to be.
Funny. But it does remind me of a question I wanted to ask you.
And what's that?
We've talked about dive fitness, but what about being physically ready for a dive? Do you mind talking about that?
Of course not. Where would you like to start?
Well, aside from encouraging people to incorporate a fitness regimen into their daily life.
Always a fan of that plan.
I thought you would like that. But let's talk about what divers can do in the days prior to a dive to ensure they're ready.
That's a really good topic. I know a lot of times divers get so focused on taking care of their dive gear or dive planning, they tend to put taking care of themselves at the bottom of the list.
So where do you start?
Start with getting plenty of sleep. Sleep deprivation does a lot of things to a person that aren't good. It diminishes our energy levels and can impair judgment. It can also decrease our strength and stamina. All of these things are important on a dive. So make sure you get plenty of sleep in the nights leading up to a dive, especially the night before.
I'll never argue with getting more sleep. Now, what else can we do?
Drink more.
All right. Doctor telling me to drink more.
Water.
Yeah, right. Okay, I knew it was too good to be true. Can I just drink some on the way to the dive site, though?
If only it were that easy. Hydration is a key contributor to staying healthy while diving, but it doesn't happen overnight. If you don't already do so as a regular part of your day, start hydrating several days prior to a dive. Try to keep caffeinated and alcoholic beverages to a minimum, as they tend to dehydrate us, which is obviously not the goal.
Can I at least eat more?
Definitely, but make sure you go quality over quantity. Food provides the fuel we burn, so absolutely eat something before you dive. If you're headed out on the boat, you may not want a greasy breakfast, but then again, do whatever works for you.
What else can we do?
Remember that mental fitness is as important as physical fitness. Be comfortable with the dive you're doing and stay within those comfort limits.
Is there anything that combines mental and physical?
Sure. We spend a lot of time educating divers on recognizing potential problems after a dive, but we sometimes forget to remind them to be aware of their starting status. When you wake up in the morning of a dive, especially the first one you'll do, take a minute to do a self-check. How are you feeling? Are you feeling good? Be aware of any aches and pains you might already be experiencing, and give yourself a baseline to work off of after the dive. Of course, if you're ever in doubt about your post-dive health, call someone. But no matter what, being really aware of how you feel before a dive can really be a good thing.
You're right. We do have a tendency to forget to check in with ourselves before a dive, don't we?
We do. And we can put ourselves through a lot of angst later because of it.
Okay. There is one more point that has to be a beneficial factor in being ready to dive. I joke about it and give you a hard time, but what about that fitness regimen?
It's kind of a no-brainer that a fitness regimen is good for you for a lot of reasons. And the benefits definitely extend to diving. I know we've talked about this extensively in other tips, but overall fitness can benefit you on the cardiovascular, circulatory, and muscular level. And all of those physical elements play into your health when diving. So yes, a daily fitness regimen can and should be considered a positive way to prepare yourself to dive.
Planning your dive and prepping your gear are key aspects to dive preparation. But don't forget to take care of you, too. Get plenty of rest, drink lots of fluids, and make sure you're mentally ready to go. The dive can't go on without you, so be sure to give yourself as much prep time and consideration as you do everything else. Do that, and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That
was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
All right, we are back here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. On the phone with me, or actually on via Skype, he sounds like he's right here next to me, Jerry Beatty from Jerry Beatty World is with Scuba Radio and Dive Training Magazine, by the way. How are you, Jerry?
I'm good, Greg. How are you doing? You sound like you're all pumped up for a good show today.
Well, I don't know if I'm pumped up for a good show today, but I know that a week from today, I will be broadcasting from the deck of the Carpe Vita liveaboard in the Maldives. So, you know, that has me a little fired up. You hear what I'm saying?
I bet it does. I'd love to go there. I haven't done the Maldives. I look at those pictures and think, you know, the Maldives are a fascinating country because they were the first country to actually lose an island to global warming.
That's right. They were. So I'm trying to get my get over there before it does sink below sea level and you don't have any place to land.
And the government had such an amazing response. The entire government, and most people who haven't heard this, got certified and they dove together underwater and signed a global warming environmental protection pact.
Yes. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Made all the news, press releases, and USA Today was all over the place. But yeah, I mean, whether it did much good, time will tell, I guess. But, you know, you need to get out there and dive that part of the world. And it's not so much the diving will always be great there, whether the city is or the country is above ground or above water or below water. But you might have trouble getting to that part of the world if it's submerged here in a few years. We'll have to wait and see. Hopefully that won't happen. You don't wish that on anybody, but man, they got great diving. So yeah, we're going to do some broadcasting there and, take a lot of pictures and videos and I'll definitely share them with you, Jerry. There's no doubt.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
You'll want to make me jealous. You just, so look at this one and drill, Jerry.
Yeah. No, I doubt I could make Jerry Beatty jealous of anything. This guy's traveled the world, which brings us to jerrybeattyworld.com, by the way, your latest blog project. And you've been sharing some of these stories of your dive adventures over the years. And I know you got one that's up there now. What's the headline? Well, I don't want to give away the whole story, but if they go to jerrybeattyworld.com, what's the latest blog about? Give me a headline, maybe.
Well, the headline on the blog is an adventure I had, concerning a private airplane and a real desire to fly around the Caribbean. And it's called Trouble in Jamaica.
Uh-huh. Trouble in Jamaica in a plane. That sounds very, you know, that sounds very similar to a problem Jimmy Buffett had in a plane. Wasn't that Jamaica too? Do you know what story I'm talking about?
When he got shot up in his Grum and Goose. Yeah.
He wrote a song about it, the whole thing. So this is your version of a personal anecdote that's very similar, I'm guessing. I don't know. Well, I don't want to say. There wasn't any gunfire, I hope, was there? Or you'll
you got to read the blog.
Okay, all right, there you go.
So we got a new guest writer on there. I'm not going to reveal who it is. It's a mystery guest writer.
Okay,
you'll have to read that for yourself.
Very good. And once again, just go to jerrybeattyworld.com, and you can follow these exploits or actually these memories, these anecdotes that Jerry has garnered over the years of his work in the dive industry, quite colorful. I've heard a lot of them at the bars and stuff. And trust me, I can't wait when these actually get documented into written form. There can't be a 10 volume book not far away. There's so many, and they're all good too. Once again, jerrybeattyworld.com. All right, so Jerry, I know you've been doing a lot of traveling lately. You were actually just over in I don't know, the northeastern Caribbean, or where were you exactly? Where did you just come back from?
I just spent some glorious time in the British Virgin Islands, and it's a different place, I got to tell you.
All right, so British Virgin Islands, I have not been there. I've been to the U.S. Virgin Islands, St. Croix, St. Thomas, St. Martin, but you're talking about British Virgin Islands, which is which islands? Well, name them. That'll help me a little.
Well, you've got Joe's Van Dyke is right off of St. John's, and you've got the island of Tortola right next to it. You've got Virgin Gorda across the Anegada Coral Reef there. And you got a lot of small islands where multi-billionaires like Branson go and build homes. So it's really a different place. And you see more sailboats than you can imagine.
Yeah, big sail destination. That whole area is immensely popular for all the sailboaters, no doubt. Or gas baggers, as we call them in the boating world. Well, yeah.
It's the only place in the Caribbean where the only diving live aboard is actually a sailing vessel.
Really? All right. Well, hold on. Yep. We're going to talk about diving in the British Virgin Islands. Maybe find out if indeed the British Virgin Islands are better or worse than the U.S. Virgin Islands. That's coming up next. Stay close.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
This garb were perfectly ordinary Americans.
They had me all set up with the scuba guy, made sure that I bought a waterproof watch, that's important. Gee, I'm completely out of oxygen, and look at the time. Now I'm dead and I'm late.
And I'm going down.
On the line with Jerry Beatty from Dive Training Magazine, also jerrybeattyworld.com. He just got back from diving in the BVIs, and we're talking about it. First of all, Jerry, what's better, British Virgin Islands or the U.S. Virgin Islands as far as diving? Would you care to rate either one, or are you going to pull the USA flag out, or what? What do you think?
You're pretty good at putting people on the spot, Greg the Dive Master.
Well,
that's a tough one to answer. They both have very, very special differences. St. Croix in the USVI is a really large island. It's got a lot of diving opportunities. St. Thomas, you've got a lot of the topside stuff going on. In lots of different restaurants, hotel choices. I mean, just on and on. The BDIs are very different. They're laid back. They're extraordinarily picturesque. Mm-hmm. And they have a very special type of diving.
Very special. And then you get the bonus of the afternoon tea. Or I don't know. I don't know. Do they do that whole British thing more in the British Virgin Islands? Does it feel like an extension of England and that kind of thing in that regard as far as, you know, the topside hotels and things, or not so much?
You know, you do, and you feel it right away from just taking a 30-minute ferry ride from St. Thomas over to Tortola. You feel it right away. It's much more British influence, and it's much more islandy as British Commonwealths are.
Interesting. Okay, well, there you go. We got that much covered. Let's talk about the diving. So out of the, you know, that cluster of islands, I don't know. I probably hear most about Tortola as a really great dive destination as far as underwater attractions. Would you rate that as one of the better places in the British Virgin Islands, or are they just kind of all diverse and vary island to island on the type of diving they offer?
You hear about Tortola because it's the largest island. It's the main entryway into the country. It has the capital city of Road Town on it. So you hear the name Tortola a lot. The diving opportunities in BVI are different because from any one of the islands except the island of Anagata, you can dive a different island every day.
Hmm.
Now, there's just not any other place in the Caribbean where literally you can be in a hotel, you can be land-based with the regular dive boat at the dock, yet dive a different island every single day.
They're just so close together and easy accessible by boat, or what? What are you saying?
That's exactly correct. Hmm. And that is one reason why it also is the beginner's sail capital of the Caribbean, because you can go down there and sail from one island to the other, and you can see the other one before you leave the first one you're on.
Ah,
and it just makes sailing delightful. They have sailboat rentals. You can charter boats of all various sizes with or without crew.
Mm-hmm.
And the dive operators will actually come out to your boat, pick you up, take you diving, and take you back to your boat.
Ooh,
it's called
nice.
Rendezvous service. You just get on your marine radio, call up whatever operation you want, make an appointment, and they'll be right there in their boat to pick you up and take you diving.
Oh, you got to love that. Now, that would be quite an adventure. I'm sure there's a lot to see on land, but man, to go live, that'd be like your own little private live aboard trip then, wouldn't it? So have you done that?
It certainly is.
Have you done that
yourself?
Absolutely. You have done that, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, absolutely.
Why didn't you call me? I would have went. Come on, let's go. Or is this more of like something you do with a remote, romantic dive buddy? I would assume, right?
Well, I don't know. That's certainly, always enticing. But getting a gang of guys together and going out there and then drinking some beers in the afternoon, telling some lies, raising up the sails and going to another island, that's a lot of fun, too.
Nice. Okay. Well, what are some of the, you know, the key dive sites in the whole area that you would say, all right, here's A, B, and C dive sites that you definitely would want to do if you were in the BVIs? Could you rate them like that? Or?
You certainly could, and there's a couple of wreck dives that are two of the most famous wreck dives in the Caribbean. One was the Rhone, which has a wonderful story going back to about 1850 of how it came to sink where it is. And there's another...
And that's the wreck that was featured in the movie The Deep, right? Isn't that one?
Yeah. I believe so.
The Wreck of the Rhone? Sure. Yeah. Jacqueline Bisset, yes. You want me to dive naked in the bathtub?
No.
Yeah.
Please, no.
That's my best Jacqueline Bisset, sorry.
That's a bad visual image. Yeah. And then you've got the Jacuzzin, which is a very large wreck with a good story behind it as well. But I think one of the most interesting things about diving BVI is you don't hear this much, but it is one of the best new diver dive sites in the Caribbean.
And why is that? What do you mean? Why?
Well, you can't get deeper than 100 foot unless you take a shovel with you.
Oh, okay. So you can, it'll keep you shallow, keep you safe in that regard, so you're not pushing any limits as far as depth.
You've got.
Yeah.
Exactly correct. And then the entire chain of islands is surrounded by the Anegada Reef, which is one of the largest barrier reefs in the world. So the waters inside the reef are all pretty flat, and you almost never have current. You have most of the time unlimited visibility, and then you've got those shallow depths. So it's a great place for a new diver.
Yeah, the once again, that was the Anegada de Vida Reef, something like that, yes. Yeah, yeah, okay, I screwed it up. But you can look it up online and find it on Google. All right. Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate it.
Not a problem, Greg. Always good to visit with you.
All right, hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving is on deck. Stay close. We ain't going nowhere. So hang out. We got more to come.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.